the government.
Fine ministers on the roster, and all of you who are here visiting from our respective churches, amen. New prospect, I heard a few other names, I don't want to miss anybody, but I do want to thank the good Lord for letting us all be here at this time, amen. I come in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. If he's the one you love, then we're in the right place,
yeah,
and it's at the right time, amen. Amen. So we thank the good Lord for letting us be here. And it is an honor and a pleasure to come in and love to hear people praise God, as my brother has already rightly said. Amen. No higher pleasure we have in this life than to give the good Lord praise.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's it.
And I want to say to the pastor's aide, it's a good thing to bless your pastor and help him and be there to aid him in everything that he needs. Amen. There's a blessing associated with blessing your pastor. Amen. And so we pray that God will elevate that to you. And we know that he will, because he promised and he is always faithful. Amen. Amen. Without any further delay, we're going to call for the voices of St. Timothy to come and render an aid selection. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank the good Lord for letting us be here, and thank you so much for the invitation. Amen. We love those verses in the Word that say for us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because the Lord is good all the time. Amen. And His mercy endures forever. Amen. As soon as I find my glasses, we'll move forward. I'll just put them away so I wouldn't break them over there. But now I think I'm good. Amen. We give the Lord praise. Amen. So we want to go right ahead just to move us into the Word. Amen. Because it is by the Word that we grow and do everything that the Lord has in store for us. Amen. He reveals His mind to us by way of His Word. And so for this occasion, I had some things that had been put on my heart. And I'm going to take you into just a passage in the Old Testament. For starters, we'll take a look at the book of Isaiah. If you want to locate Isaiah. And we're going to look at just a few verses in chapter number 1. Pastor Hamilton, the founding pastor of our church, always liked to call it the Gospel of Isaiah. Yeah. And I agree with him on that, because there's more information revealed about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Isaiah, perhaps, than any other prophet in the Old Testament. Amen. So let's just take a few looks about verses. We'll just take a few, because I'm going to kind of move about, and hopefully we will get this idea across. Starting in Isaiah chapter number 1, verse number 9, and I'll be reading the King James translation. It says here, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat-fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it." And then he goes on to say, "It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them." Isaiah 1:15, "And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil and learn to do well." He goes on to say here in verse 17, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We'll stop at verse 18. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of His holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And we're going to speak on just a subject briefly, if the Lord permits, avoiding the pitfalls of apostasy.
Amen.
Amen. Avoiding the pitfalls of apostasy. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord God, we praise you, we bless you, we exalt your name, Father. We just thank you for this house, Father. We thank you for this pastor here. Thank you for his first lady, oh God. And we thank you for this pastor's aide who has come together to gather around him to give him support. That support that he needs, Lord, because he can't do it all by himself. I heard my other brother here say that we are like iron sometimes, but Father, sometimes iron rusts, so we need a little extra help. And so, Father, we thank you for this pastor's aid, this service, and we pray that you rejuvenate their spirit,
yes,
that they might continue to be of good service to the man of God,
yes,
that you have placed over this house, oh God, that they would be there to bless him, to comfort him, to help him in every way that he needs help, oh God. And we thank you for all these fine ministers that you have appointed to this house. Every one of them is called for a particular purpose, oh God. And we pray right now today, God, that you bless and magnify in their minds exactly what that course is for which you have called them. We pray you supply their hearts, oh God, with strength, that you supply their minds with wisdom, oh God, and just let them just be the strong and powerful men of God that you are calling for in these last and evil days. Because we look right outside these doors, Father, and we see evil and trouble on every side. A lot of times, oh God, it's even under the roof of the church that we find some of these things going on. But Father, we pray right now that you strengthen good hope in general, oh God. Make this a strong citadel for the righteousness of God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless every one of these members here today, Father, under the sound of my voice. Whether they be from the sister churches, New Prospect, St. Timothy, whoever, Father, we need you right now. Because we can see that time that you have prophesied is just outside our doors. Oh God, that people are concerned about some of everything except what's going on in the true church. Father, they are offended sometimes by our message. But Father, we pray you make us strong, that we can continue to step up and stand forth for the truth. No matter who sets aside the gospel and the word of God, let these churches, Father, be strong in the midst of all the turmoil. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now anoint these words, O God, that you have given, that they might strengthen this whole family who is gathered here together in this sacred place. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We ask it in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and majesty right now in the church. And the whole church say it together. Amen. 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 We want to look at this topic only because we can see from the history of Israel and the reading of that text in Isaiah that something went wrong. God has separated a people for his own possession. He had loved them. He had done everything to bless them. He had built them up, separated them from all the families of the earth, just like he promised Abraham. When he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the Chaldeans were pretty rough people, along with the rest of the Gentiles who were doing things their own way. And so basically God separated Abraham and told him, out of your seed and your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so he separated a people out of all the people in the world in order to bless the world with the knowledge of his salvation and of his love. And so he told Abraham, you get moving, come away from them, separate yourself. I want you to be mine. Forget all about everything in your past. Get thee out of your country and away from your people and your kindred and come into a land that I will show you. He said, get out of your father's house and I will bless you and make your name great and you shall be a blessing. I will bless him that blesseth you, curse him who curseth you, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham came out of idolatrous Ur of the Chaldees, where they worshiped all kinds of things but the true God. And he separated himself, leaving behind any a vestige of any fortune or any lands or anything he may have been financially benefited from. He cut the cord and left because he believed God. Genesis 15:6 said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. So God counted his faith for righteousness. And so Abraham was willing to cut the cord and go into a place where he had no idea where he was going. The writer to the Hebrews said he went into a land and he knew not whither he went. He had no idea. He was following the impulse of God who had called him and separated him. Now, after that time, and I'm going to just kind of summarize a few things for the purpose of this message, because we are talking about avoiding the pitfalls of apostasy. Now, let me identify that word apostasy. That's probably the most different word in the title. Apostasy means falling away. It has to do with people leaving from the center of what God has commanded and falling away, starting to do their own thing, starting to adjust themselves away from what God said, doing their own thing, as we say. They have a Frank Sinatra syndrome that I did it my way instead of doing it God's way. These are people of modern day who separate themselves from what God said and start to do their own thing. We see this everywhere going on in the church. People are making it up to be whatever they want it to be. But we also saw it here in the text that we read in the people of Israel, the people of Judaism.
When they first started to walk with God, they had some issues then. But God put up with all their foolishness. He multiplied them in three generations from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob into a mass of people. And he cultivated them in the land of Egypt to become millions of people. Yeah. And then God called them out and he sent a deliverer, Moses, to bring them out of bondage out of the land of Egypt. And they crossed through the Red Sea on dry land and proceeded to come into the land that God had promised Abraham. And they began to complain and bellyache about what God was doing. Sometimes we do that. When God is moving us from point A to point B, sometimes we have a tendency to find fault with the conditions along the way. And so, but you can see God had a long fuse. He put up with them for all that time. He nurtured them because he had a promise to keep. And so God kept them all the way from the days of Abraham. Let's just use Matthew 1:17 for a summary of what I'm saying. In Matthew 1:17, it says all the generations from Abraham to King David are 14 generations. From King David to the deportation into Babylon are 14 generations. And from that time to the time of Christ are 14 generations. 42 long generations God put up with the children of Israel. And he was trying to bring them the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Actually, they fell out of God's good graces about 28 generations in. And we read that during the time of Isaiah, which would have been probably just before. We could say Isaiah may have been the prophet of about the 10th or the 11th hour, if you will. In other words, he began to warn the people that they were stepping out of the way with God. You're falling away. You're getting so far that you're doing stuff that does not give honor and glory to God. And so you see many warnings here as you look in the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to remind you of a couple here. It says, as we just looked at, that in that chapter 1, verse 9, he said, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. In other words, if God was not dealing with us, we would degenerate all the way to the same point that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did. Think that one through. If it wasn't for the mercy of God in our lives, and God is preserving a small remnant, the majority of people do what they want to do. They ignore the precepts of God. They ignore the word of God. They want very little of what God has to say. Just give us a little taste, tickle our ear, let us go home. We don't want to soak in the truth, which is able to render righteousness into our lives. We have a tendency to want to get an ear tickle, get a little shot of this, that, and the other, and then that's good enough, we can go. You see, Israel had gotten like that by this time. But Isaiah reminds them, it's God who is preserving you. It's God's word that's giving you a difference, making you different than the people all around you. It's God's mercy that's keeping you from going down that path of wickedness that you would otherwise pursue with a whole heart. What's the problem there? The problem is man's nature is fallen. We have a fallen nature. We tend toward and gravitate toward all of that kind of wicked stuff. You know, we have it in our mind. Sometimes we toy with it, even in the church, in our own mind. And you know what? The world keeps it all around you. You're covered and we might as well say you're baptized in filth. In the world that we live in. And if we don't watch it, we could slip down that slippery slope and get to the place where there's only a small remnant of people who are trying to hold on to the promise of God and keep on walking with the Lord all the way unto salvation. Now, basically, I want you to see he was talking to the covenant people here. He's talking to Israel. This is not the Gentiles. But Isaiah noticed and he said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Look at that. We would have degenerated just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? Sodom and Gomorrah has arrived in America. I don't know if you've noticed it. It has arrived in America. We want to legalize everything. We want to make abominations legal. In order that we might not feel bad. That's the only thing we can do. Our consciences are going to be ripped in two. So we better make that legal. Let's have same-sex marriage. Let's have all these different kinds of things. Legalize prostitution. We're going to be unfaithful. Just make it legal. Legalize drugs. Make it legal so we can just get our drugs and we don't have to feel bad. And so then, when, and it's not, it's kind of bad when you see that in the world. What happens when the church starts to get sucked into it? It's a terrible situation. And this is what the word of God refers to as apostasy, the falling away from the principles of God. So we see it here, but I want to take you to a New Testament place. You don't have to actually turn there if you don't like, but just think about this. I'm going to move you over because you know what happened to the covenant people. The covenant people, they slept the things of God. They did what they wanted to do to the point that God had deported them into Babylon. First, the northern kingdom was taken into captivity in 722 BC. And that's because they separated after the reign of Solomon. And they wanted to do their own thing, so they set up a capital up in Samaria. And they went there to worship. They were taken into captivity by Assyria in 722 BC. That's 722 years before the birth of Christ. And so God allowed them to a lot of time to come back and start to do the right thing. God had never told anyone to worship in Samaria. They wanted to worship, but we want to do it our way. We want to do it in our own way, in our own place. We don't want to do it your way. We're tired of that. We're going to go and do it our own way. 10 of the 12 tribes moved to the northern kingdom and began to worship in Samaria. God has said Jerusalem is the place that I set my name to worship. Only two tribes, and that was Judah and Benjamin, stayed in the southern kingdom. God has said that's only because I'm preserving a remnant for my servant David, because I have promises to keep. So in other words, when the majority says we can't do it, 10 of them go to the north and they do whatever they want to do. They fall away from the truth, set up their own worship. They start to worship idols and all of that. That's the majority. Only a small remnant was left. Just two of the 12 tribes in the southern kingdom. And that was Judah and Benjamin. And so now Isaiah is writing to Judah and Benjamin. Here in the text that we read, and he's saying, if the Lord didn't preserve a small remnant, we would have all went down the tubes just like the rest of them.
That's right.
So we have to be careful because you know what? Our flesh in our natural fallen condition wants to do all that sinful stuff. It really does. And the only preservative that we have is the Holy Spirit being in us. He restricts us from doing those things we would do. You see, that's why he's given to you. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. God doesn't leave it up to you. He moves in. He takes up residence in you. And he's going to be in there to convict your mind when you would say, let me do this sinful thing. The Holy Spirit says no. And you know what? We violate the Holy Spirit sometimes. And it's a bad thing when the church decides that they want to violate the Holy Spirit. That's why the Word of God says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God who you have. He says, basically, you have been sealed till the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 and 30. The Holy Spirit is in you. You are sealed if you actually have trusted in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Now, and I want to say this to you because I'm here not to hurt anybody. I just want to wake you up in some areas so you understand that God loves you. He put up with these Jews through all those generations. Yeah. Even though they fell away, he still preserved a remnant, carried them all the way through that time of separation when they were smitten in the northern kingdom. And then eventually in 586 BC, which was 586 years before Christ, Judah and Benjamin had to be smitten and carried away into Babylon. And God was still with a remnant, taking them through, even through that captivity in the southern kingdom. And so I want you to see now, and we looked in Sunday school this morning at Habakkuk and his prayer. Maybe you had that here too. I don't know. But it's an interesting thing to see that Habakkuk also said, Lord, what's up? What's going on with the covenant people? Why aren't they doing what you say? Why is there violence and bloodshed everywhere? Why is there wickedness of every stripe on every side? Why aren't you doing anything about it, God? And God spoke to Habakkuk and told him, hey, you don't know what I have planned, dude. I'm going to put it in modern English. If I told you, it would blow your mind. And God did that. He told him that I'm going to send in those Chaldeans that are going to come in and wipe some of the slate clean. They're going to come in and become an instrument of judgment from me on these people that you think. Now, Chaldeans were the people from which Abraham was called out of. So God used them to spank his own people, to get them to shape up, to wake them up in the middle of their situation when they were trying to fall away from God. This was what we would call apostate Israel. They had fallen away. And I want to say this, when God sent the southern kingdom into captivity with all the refugees who had also fled from the northern kingdom to take refuge in the southern kingdom where they should have been, there was a remnant of those 10 tribes came back to the southern kingdom in order to be where they should have been, and all of them ended up in the Babylonian captivity. But God was still keeping an eye on them for the sake of his promises that he had made to Abraham. Now, the good news is, and let me just say this before I get to the good news. The church, it already has been prophesied that the church also will go through a similar falling away. Do you know that? Now, and it's been just about the same amount of time since the revelation of Jesus Christ that the church has now had the gospel for about 2,000 years. Do you know your calendar is telling you it's 2,014 years since Christ Jesus was born? Have you thought of it that way? About 2,000 years, Messiah has been revealed to the whole world. And more people believed it at first. And now we're starting to see it slacking off. You know, people start to see some of the activity of the church. And there's a whole group of people who are basically atheists. They look at the craziness that goes on sometimes in the church and they say, wow, you know, I don't know if I want any part of that. As though it's something that they could just select. But we have to be careful that we are salt and light. That's what Jesus said, that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? But to be trodden down and trampled under the feet of men. Jesus spake in Luke 6:39, he said a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? You know, if we're operating in blindness, how can we lead somebody else to the truth? So we want to be very careful. Jesus said it takes supernatural revelation for you to even be able to see what God is doing. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's totally invisible to you unless you have been born again. The great news in all of this is God loves us exactly as we are, in spite of how far away we may be. So this is a wake-up call because we want to avoid the pitfalls of apostasy. That's that falling away, that tendency to do your own thing instead of staying in the centrality of the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you to all truth. Now, prayerfully, the people I'm speaking to here, and I know these churches are pretty well centered in the Word of God. So more than likely, this does not apply to you, that you are not falling away from the truth. You are trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him so that he is directing your path. And so hopefully that's who we're talking about here today. So, but there is a trend going on in the world that people think this is a new thing, but actually it's the same old sin that's been going on all the time. They see particular problems in the world, and it seems like God isn't doing anything about it. And so they look at the bad examples that they see, and then they say, well, we don't need any of that. We just want to get together and love each other and sing Kumbaya and go home. And we want to neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. Kumbaya is going to send a lot of people to hell. Because without the blood of Jesus, you have no covering for your sin. And if we don't preach the gospel, who's going to do it? That's my question. Isaiah was blind and until the year that King Uzziah died in chapter 6. And he said, I went into the temple to worship. And he says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. And I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And the house was filled with smoke. And he said the foundations of the temple began to shake. He had a supernatural experience. And then he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Now here was the prophet of God. This was not a street person or some drunkard or some alcoholic or somebody who didn't know God. This was the prophet of God. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Because mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, and the whole world, earth is filled with his glory. And so God, of course, showed that he was willing to forgive Isaiah. He sent a seraphim to the altar with a pair of tongs, and he took a hot coal and he said, this has touched your mouth and your sin has been forgiven and your iniquity is taken away. And then Isaiah said, then I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? So he got his mouth touched, but his ears opened up. He said, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. So we want to be prepared just like Esther was there for such a time as this. You and I are in a very, very special time in the history of the church. We've been here for 2,000 years. Much of the church has divided into all kinds of denominations and all of that, and to the point that some people who don't even understand the church are sick of it. Some of the people in the church are sick of it. I like what my brother here said. Somebody make you mad. Oh, that's it. I'm not going back to that church. But you don't do it on your job. I heard him say that. You know, we're going to kick the church to the curb. Just anything come up we don't like, that's it. Sayonara. See you later. You see, but the fact is, you and I have to be bonded together in Christian love. We have to show the world. Jesus said in John 13:34, the world will know that you are my disciples because you have love one to another. It's going to be by the way you love each other that they can see that there's something different about these folks here. It's only a few of them, but they sure are nice people. And we don't know what it is. What is it that they have that I'm missing? See, and so they see that when you understand and accept the gospel and you know that God loves you, he has fixed your sin, he sent his son to do it, and that's the only way it could be done. The Lord Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died so that you and I can be clean and free from sin. We trust in him and believe that God cast all our sin upon him. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He died and was buried in the grave for 3 days and nights. And early on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And we trust in him and him alone. And at that point, when we believe and accept and embrace the gospel, Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. So we want to be able to avoid the pitfalls of apostasy. We can see when you see the church going down like that, you and I need to be more prayerful. This is the reason why the writer to the Hebrews said that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25, as the manner of some is, he says there's going to be some people doing that. But he says, and even more so as you see the day drawing near. What day? That day when the church starts to fall away. And there's only going to be a remnant preserved by the Spirit of God. And now, this is what the summary of it, this was. God said to the Israelites, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Most High God would invite you to reason with him? He would invite you to sit down. Let's sit down and talk this over. Let's have a one-on-one on this. Let's have a face-to-face time on this. He says, let us reason together. And then he reminds us that we have a problem with sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So God says, I have the way to purify your sin. I have the way to make you right and acceptable to me. Why don't you reason with me? It will be to your benefit. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you be willing and obedient, he said, you shall eat the good of the land. So God is still promising to bless his people no matter what goes on. And so you and I can look forward to that. The scripture has much to say about the falling away of the church. We're not going to take it up all today. But I want to take you to a quick summary just of a few things as we prepare to close. And I think this is very important. The best nutshell of all of what I've said can be found in the epistle of Jude. Jude wrote, he said, he is the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? You are sanctified by God the Father. God set you apart just like he did Israel. You are preserved in Christ Jesus. He put you in Christ so that nothing can ever touch you or hurt you. Nothing sinful can ever take your account out. You don't have to worry about anybody deleting your files. It's not even in the cloud. It's up above the clouds. Amen. And then it says mercy unto you. You know, we all need mercy. And peace and love be multiplied. See, God wants to multiply love and peace to you. No matter what you are involved in, no matter what you've done, he loves you. And he wants to sanctify you, set you apart, protect you in Christ, call you out of sin, give you all the mercy, all the peace, all the love you need. Because he said it's going to be multiplied. I had a person tell me one day, you know, you all teach that doctrine of the Trinity and I don't get it because 1 + 1 + 1 is 3. I said, well, that's because God multiplies. One times one times one is one. I said, you got the wrong mathematics going on. That's the reason you don't understand it. You know, but beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you, Jude goes on to say, of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints.
Yes,
God is not confused, neither is he the author of confusion. See, he's not trying to confuse anybody. The gospel is so plain and clear, it's unbelievable. To some people, they go, what? You know, is it that simple? It's not really simple. It's just God wanted it to be plain so a little child could hear it and be saved. Or even an old person or somebody who is inebriated or their mind is not right. I don't want to make it too complicated. I sent you my son. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead in 3 days and nights. And he's seated at my right hand right now making intercession for you. That's pretty basic. You see, but people creep in, as Jude says in Jude 1:4. For there are certain men who have crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, people come in and they want to say grace is a license to sin. Wrong answer. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a path out of sin. Grace is the exact opposite of the road to Sodom and Gomorrah. Grace is a way to get to holiness, to get from where you are to righteousness. You see? So don't let anybody trick you with that one. And then he goes on to say that this is an ungodly man who turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, desiring the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not.
That's right.
Now look at that. He brought them out of bondage through the Red Sea. He showed them a miracle. Opened the Red Sea. They went through on dry land. Dust was flying up behind them. He set a wall of fire between their enemies and them so they could get away. And now they're over in the wilderness, and then they start complaining. And belly, what y'all bring us over here for to kill us with hunger? This God who opened up the sea and you think he brought you to kill you with hunger? You upset because you're going to eat manna from heaven? He's raining bread down and you over here talking about where's the onions and the melons and the leeks and the garlic and the flesh pots that we had over in Egypt? Like, wow. And so they get there and they complain and they blame Moses. You know, first they was mad at Moses. What you going to do now? The enemy is coming up on us and the Red Sea is behind us. You done got us in a trap. What are we going to do? And Moses, God told him, stand still. Tell them, stand still and see the salvation of your God. He stretched forth his rod. The Red Sea peels back into two walls, one on either side. And then they go through on dry land. He drops down a pillar of fire to stop the enemy from pursuing. And all they could do is watch their victims escape. And then they had the stupidity after the fire went up to try to pursue them. And they ran down into the riverbed and God said, close it in on them. And now you over here complaining? Think about that for the church. God sent his only son from out of eternity. Allowed him to be crucified, lifted up between heaven and earth. Allowed him to be wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace. By his stripes you're healed. And what do we have to complain about? Why don't we love the church? Why don't we love it even more than we should? Think it through. And why don't we go out and tell people? The Great Commission said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus rose from the dead. He had defeated everything else. Sickness, disease, storms, all kinds of things that never could be defeated. And when he rose from the dead, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. The Greek says, lo, I am with you all the days. That means however many days there are, I'm there. So the Lord is with you all the days. Doesn't that comfort you? When you go to work and you got a bunch of cabbage heads to deal with, the Lord says, I am with you. Anywhere on your block, on your street, in Ferguson, wherever you happen to be, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. No matter what's going on, you get a bad report, you hear about disease and sickness and all that pestilence in the land. He said that's what you're going to hear, that these are the beginning of sorrows. Told him in Matthew 24, you shall be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and pestilence in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrows. He said, don't you worry, though. You don't worry. You have nothing to worry about because your Father loves you. And he has given his Son to be crucified for you. He has paid your bill entirely. So you and I don't want to be falling away. We want to avoid the pitfalls of the apostasy of the church. And I'm hoping that this message has lit a fire in your soul somewhere, that you will now just be a little more diligent, be a little bit more willing to open your mouth, be a Romans 1:16 person, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what? Think about it. And I tell this to people all the time, just as I prepare to take my seat. The world is configured around Jesus. How can you believe something else? They said, what do you mean the world is configured around Jesus? I said, it's 2014, because 2014 years have elapsed since he was born. Your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate. Every tombstone is based on when he was born and when he died out in the cemetery. You're going to have one too, and your numbers are going to be up there, but they're based on when he was born and when he died. That's not true of Buddha. It's not true of Confucius. It's not true of Mohammed. Nobody has that glorious position except the Lord Jesus Christ. No one. So if you want to believe them, go ahead. But I don't. I trust in the Lord God, Jesus Christ, and I will preach him even to the ends of the earth. So I hope you will just be a strong support to the pastors and all the ministerial staff at this church. Do whatever you can to get the gospel out into the world. Do whatever you can to maintain it in your home. Do whatever you can to maintain it on your street. Do whatever you can to be a part of the salt and the light that God has called us to be. And then at that point, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Amen. 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 God bless you.